Tonight I want to talk about the Spirit-filled life, make sure we're right in tune with everything. It's only the spiritual life that's the happy life. And so carnal Christians are never really happy unless their football team wins. But spiritual Christians are happy all the time. So let's read here in Acts chapter 13 just to kind of get a slow start, put it in first gear. Acts chapter 13. Verse 49 says, "And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout the whole region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women." I don't know why women have to get so stirred up, but at least he added some men in there. "And the chief men of the city raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with sadness." Because it didn't look like God was doing anything. No. "The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit."
Hallelujah.
Look, when you feel like your Christianity hasn't helped the next person or been received by the next person, don't be sad. Don't be mad. Be filled with joy. Okay, for tonight, you're going to have to go a little, you're going to have to take one step into the water. You're going to have to take one step into the Spirit. Just go in there, just one extra step, and stop thinking like an American and think like a Christian. Because we Christians have to find some joy in something other than natural circumstances. We have a lot of pursuit in America. It's called the American dream, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of. Okay, if you're pursuing happiness, you will miss the Christian life. You have to pursue the Lord and the Holy Spirit and obedience. And sometimes the things you have to do, the decisions you have to make, don't make you instantly happy. Until you sit down on your couch and think, you know what, I'm obeying God, might as well be happy. And so things don't always go perfectly in this Christian life. And so here something didn't go perfectly and they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And that needs to be your life. You need to learn how to be filled with the Holy Spirit and joy no matter what. And so the only way to do this, it's not like mind over matter. It's you drawing near to the Lord. It's you doing spiritual things right. It's you giving yourself over to the Holy One. And once you start learning how to do this, man, you'll be a different type of a Christian. I look back at Acts chapter 11. And you'll see a little something about Barnabas. I did a whole thing on this before about Barnabas. He's kind of the forgotten, one of the forgotten apostles, but he was a special fella. Acts chapter 11, verse 22 says, "Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord." Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. I understand. Praise the Lord. All right, there we go. So, Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and you should be too. You all should have this as a goal in your life, that you would be a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Is that said about you? Is that how you come across? Is that your epitaph? Is that what they say about you in the end? I was just reading this today thinking, oh man, I sure hope this is what's said. You don't have to say too much of me when I go. Don't make big fanfare. All I want at my funeral is for people to read all my books. All I want at the funeral is a gift bag for everybody that comes with all of the gospel stuff. And the only thing that needs to be said is he was a good man full of the Holy Ghost and faith. And you notice that next part it says, "And great many people were added to the Lord." So if you're that type of a person, you'll be able to lead others to Jesus. You'll be that type of person that gives off a wonderful aroma. And so you know, they say some people are easy on the eyes. You and I need to be easy on the spirit. You and I need to be easy on the soul and spirit of other people. You and I need to be a blessing to other people, smooth with other people, somebody that they, you know, want to imitate, want to follow to church. Praise God. All right, open to Philippians chapter 2. In this day and age, you know, this is the information age, which was actually predicted somewhat in the scriptures. If you recall over in Daniel, it says in the end that people would run, says people would run to and fro, and knowledge would be increased. Just a little statement he made about the end, and we kind of see that, don't we? Yeah. I mean, in the past 116 years, we've gone from horse and buggy to running, to flying to and fro. We've gone from horse and buggy to gasoline and diesel and electricity, and now we can run to and fro just like that. Now we don't have to take long voyages.
Right.
In an instant, we're across the world. Preachers used to have to take a three-month journey overseas,
right.
Hop a ship, three-month journey, and then might as well stay for several years. And now we just fly back and forth, back and forth, back all over the place. And so we have opportunity and potential to do a lot of stuff a lot quicker, and that's predicted. But then also it says knowledge shall be increased, and I believe that's also happened in the church. Of course, you can see, you know, 100 messages in 100 hours. You can get the gospel a lot quicker than waiting for Paul to show up next 6 months. Well, I can't wait for Paul the Apostle to come back so that we can learn a little bit more. And until then, we'll just go a little slower, and we'll have to pray a whole lot more in the Spirit so that we can get revelation in us. And we need to send word out so we can get some parchments sent from that place they're copying some of the scriptures. Hey, did y'all hear that Corinth got a letter from the Apostle Paul? No, I didn't hear about that. Let's go over there so we can hear what the letter said. So trying to get information was a lot harder. Trying to get taught the things of God was a lot harder. And so now it's a lot easier. I mean, it's unbelievably easy. It's easier than when I got in the gospel. And so now everybody can know everything that everybody else already knows. Right? Like, I used to think it was special that I knew some things about Smith Wigglesworth. And so I would preach him and I would say a lot of things. Well, now everybody has access to that. I mean, as soon as we got in the ministry, we started selling books. The books we were reading, we were selling because you needed them. And so that's why we have a bookstore still. You know, most churches don't have a bookstore. They don't have any faith resources you could go buy. You have to go to Amazon. You have to trust social media to tell you what to read. That's not how we operate. We will always have resources. I know a lot of churches that had big bookstores don't have them because people don't want them anymore. I don't care if you don't want them or not. My responsibility to the Lord is to provide you everything that's necessary for your spiritual growth. You need to read some good holy books. You need to buy some of the products that allow you access to good stuff, filtered stuff, where you don't have to spit out so many bones. So right now you have access to so much that's just bombarding you. I mean, you can't go 10 minutes during the day without being bombarded by information, gospel information. But just getting the information or just getting the knowledge is not enough.
That's right.
Though we have access to everything, it may not be taking root in you. It may not be working for you. Because it takes more than just getting the information. You have to cultivate it. You have to address it with the Lord. You have to assimilate it into your life. You have to compile it into your own soul. It's kind of like when you make a video. Some of you techies might understand this. You make a video, you got to throw in some footage. You got to throw in some audio. You got to fix. You got to throw in some titling, some lower thirds. You got to put all these elements into the video. But it ain't ready yet. Before anybody can view that thing, before it's ever effective, you have to render it. You have to push the button and let the computer put it all together and smooth it out and make it functional so that you can then pass it around and see it in other places. or exported. It has to go through this process, this technical process, before it's viewable. Same thing with your spiritual life. You can put all this stuff in, all these scriptures, all these truths, all these ideas, but until you spend the time with the Lord to process it, until you draw near to Him about it, until you get it engrafted into your mind and your soul, it won't work for you. It's a lot of nice little things that you can almost kind of enjoy, but it's not together enough. It's not functional enough. You haven't appropriated that into your life. And so all of the information is designed to help you connect to God. See, you're all real enthused about that. And so sometimes we wonder, how come things aren't working? How come I'm still not very happy? There's something you've missed. It's like you read a scripture and you're supposed to take that scripture and be able to get a prayer answered, but the prayer doesn't seem to be getting answered. But I prayed the prayer, but I said this, but I believed it, but I believed it. Spend a little more time with the Lord about it. Spend some quiet time. Shut everything else off and just kind of talk to the Lord about that one scripture or those two or three scriptures that you got. And just let your soul take it. Let your soul receive it. Rather than trying to just rehearse things kind of in a rote memorization. Just trying to go through your life quoting stuff. It's really designed to help you connect to God with it. So go get with Him. It's all still true. I mean, the Word of God is absolutely true. Everything in there is true. But you sitting there tonight saying, yeah, I know it's true, is not enough. It's a start, but you do have to take this and assimilate it into your life. All right, Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12. Philippians 2, start with verse 12. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Notice the term work out your salvation. This is not talking about you trying to do a bunch of things so you can get saved. Okay, this is you taking your salvation and working it out so that you partake of it, so that you experience yourself. Your salvation is secured by your belief in Jesus. Amen. All right, you're saved. Now work out your salvation with some fear of God and trembling, some respect toward His Word. Work out your salvation, meaning put some effort into this salvation of yours so that you experience it, so that you partake of the inheritance of salvation now, so that salvation takes root in you in a real way. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So God's trying to work in you to will and do what He wants. For that to work, you got to give yourself up to Him. For that to really happen, you got to spend some time. You got to render. You got to compile this. You got to hang out with Him. Give yourself over to Him. In quiet time, in praying in tongues time, in Bible reading time, in obedience time, in reading the Bible and stopping every time you're not doing the scripture. Right. Every time you hit a scripture that you really don't either know much of or really don't want to do or not doing, something that just kind of, you know, bright light shines, red flag shines, I don't care. That's when you stop and say, whoa. I got to forgive my brother. Whoa. I haven't been considering other people. Whoa. I was rude yesterday. Whoa. And if you give yourself over to that, you won't forget that you were rude.
Amen.
This is how you grow. You have to follow the Holy Spirit. You have to commit to the Holy Spirit. You have to not quench the Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit's trying to show you something, you just quench Him. I don't have time for that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. do all things without complaining and is... let me read verse 13 again. For it's God who works in you both to will and do for His good pleasure. Realize that God wants to draw you near and change you. So in your praying for things, yeah, He'll give you the things, but He wants you to connect with Him. He's trying to work in you. He'll give you the desires of your heart, but really there's some steps. There's more important things at hand.
That's right.
And so He's working in you to will and do what he knows. And so you have to want that. You have to be happy with that. He may let you think that the main thing in your life is to get the prayer answered, when the truth is He's doing other stuff in there. And so you have to let Him work in you. You have to take those steps of obedience. Let Him work it out in you. Stop looking at the circumstances thinking, oh no, oh no, oh no, I don't like this, I don't like this. It doesn't feel like it's coming to pass. Stop that. You just be happy. You just be full of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-filled life anchors itself in the Word of God. The Spirit-filled life, number one, says, what does His Word say? Of course, the second one is, what does His Spirit say? So I am anchored to His Word. If I'm a Spirit-filled person, I am anchored. If you're going to enjoy the Spirit-filled life, you're going to have to say yes to His Word.
Right.
You're going to have to say, man, oh man. Whoo, that's exciting to read. You need to be able to read a page of the Bible and say, whoa, from God to me.
Amen.
It was one of the first things that happened in my life. I started realizing Jesus is talking to me.
Come on.
I read the book of Matthew. That was my first real book to read in the kingdom. And I said, He is talking to me. He said, I can't live by bread alone, but by His Word. I got to live by this. All of a sudden, my life changed. All of a sudden, I saw what was different. I saw what was wrong, saw where I needed to be, saw my future, saw my commitment change. It was over for me. I'm a Spirit-filled guy. I'm all in for this.
Amen.
I want the Zoe life. I want the God kind of life. I want personal revival in my life. I want sincere Christianity in my life. I don't want no surface Christianity. I had seen that before. I had seen fake Christianity. I had seen surface stuff. I had seen that. I wanted the real thing where God talked. I wanted the real thing where answers came, where power was available. I wanted the real thing that I knew would please the Lord. I wanted to have a spark of life on me.
Amen.
And that begins with his Word. This Bible, His Word, is the very beginning of your Spirit-filled life. Meaning you are moved by the Word of God more than anything and everything else, all the time. I'm so moved by the Word of God, I don't have to have a fancy message.
Amen.
If you're committed to the Word of God, I mean, Jesus said, if you will fall on the Word, you'll be broken. If you don't fall on the Word, it will fall on you and it will crush you. You got to yield to the Word. You got to say yes to it. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Except in year 2020, you can do whatever you want, complaining and disputing. Some people want you to be complaining and disputing even into 2021. I say, don't do that. You want to have a spark of joy in your life, you better not be doing complaining and disputing. Hallelujah. Verse 15, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Stop marveling that the generation is so perverse.
Amen.
Stop marveling about that. That's like baby Christianity if you're marveled at the wickedness in America. Stop marveling. Paul said they were in a crooked generation. You're in a crooked generation. So what? You shine. You shine. It didn't say that among whom you fight tooth and nail. No, you shine for these people. You shine for this dark generation. We have a purpose in this. There's a purpose in your spirit-filled life. It's not just all about you and your happiness. Philippians 3. If it was all about you and your happiness, we could all just retire. Especially preachers, might as well just retire at 50, 60. Truth is, that's what a lot of people are shooting for, trying to retire early. Hey, if there's no purpose, okay, I'll get off that. If there's no purpose, retire. Go camp on the beach. Philippians 3 here, verse 8. Now this is Paul. He's talking about his Judaism. He's talking about his Hebrew heritage and what a great Hebrew he was. And he's only doing it to make a point. He's not bragging, even though if anybody could brag, it was him. So he goes through this whole thing. And then he gets to verse 8 and he says, "Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Why does he do all that? "That I may know him." That I may know him. If you're going to know God, you're going to have to cast off everything else. To know God, you're going to have to let go of all of your self-centered life. There's no other way to do it. To know God, to experience this Spirit-filled glory, you'll have to let go of your self-centeredness. All things that self needs so badly, let it go. Let it go and enjoy God every mile of the journey. It's the only way. Paul said, "I'm letting everything go to know him and the power of his resurrection." Hallelujah. "And the fellowship of his sufferings." Meaning, whatever that means, I'm taking it. I need his power. I need to know him. I need to know his power. I need to know what his sufferings are all about. Americans aren't really built to suffer. Americans get real mad when they suffer. And I'm not talking about suffering with sickness, disease, or tragedy. I'm talking about suffering with things didn't go your way.
Come on.
Should I go over this side? The quicker you get over yourself, the quicker answers come. Well, let's say it this way. The quicker you get over yourself, the quicker you know God, and the quicker answers come. This whole thing is about you connecting with God. It's not about your little peachy life. It's about you connecting with God. That's where the glory is. Amen. You having a relationship around your one little prayer getting answered. It's not about your prayer getting answered. It's you enjoying God about it.
Amen.
It's you just being so happy way before the answer comes. Way, glory to God. Thanks, God. Way before the answer comes.
Amen.
That's glorious.
Amen.
Just being mad, sad, along the journey waiting for a prayer to get answered, then something kind of happens. That's not fun for God, and it's not fun for you. All right, so we got to know him. That's our goal. That's why part of our mission here is to know him. The other part's to make him known. So the whole thing's all about. The whole thing in life is all about to know him, to make him known. And we don't have a mission statement here because just for something to put on the wall. We have a mission statement here so that any point in your life, at work or wherever you're at or whenever you're at, if you have the thought, "What am I doing here? What is this life all about?" you can remember the mission.
That's right.
At any point in your life when things are rocky or scary or whatever, you can always know this. That's right, I'm here to know him.
Amen.
And to make him known.
Glory.
I don't know why I'm here, but I do know that I'm here to know him and make him known. Whatever confusion or questions or circumstances happen in your life, you can always remember your mission.
Amen.
It is a divine mission, a holy mission. Everybody in life needs a mission, and you got one.
Amen.
And that's not just a Houston Faith Church mission. I believe it's a divine mission. I think every Christian needs that mission. It can be in different forms and some extras thrown in there and whatever. But you need to be all after Him and all after making Him known. And if you'll keep that as your purpose in life, you'll be able to make it through all the challenges. James chapter 1 is next scripture. James chapter 1, verse 19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." I was just reading across there and I thought verse 20 could apply real well. If you want to make change, it's not going to be because of your wrath. Your anger is not going to be good to make righteous change. So if you find yourself angry at stuff that's wrong, you won't be able to help it. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Verse 21, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word." King James says, "engrafted word." Implanted word, which is able to save your souls. All right, so it says receive with meekness, humble yourself and receive the word. And when it says that, it means get it wrapped up in your soul. Let it overtake you. To engraft one tree limb into the other, you tie it together and it starts partaking of the other. You need to partake of the word. You need to put it so deep into your soul that it motivates you, moves you, reminds you, loves you, helps you, blesses you. All throughout the day, every day, I'm connected to His Word. It's part of my life. I don't have to not be mean. I don't have to try not to be mean to people because the Word has got me. I'm just a nice guy. I'm full of the Holy Ghost and faith. We're a good people. You're a good man. You're a good woman. Why? Because the Word has taken over me. I don't have to try not to get mad in traffic.
Amen.
You don't have to try. Once the Word takes you over, there is people in those cars. There are people in there that might be having a bad day. There are people in there that might just be ignorant of how to drive. There are people in there that need to be saved. There are people in there that all you're supposed to do is be happy with them. Just love them. They cut you off? Give them the little heart sign or whatever. I love you. I love you. It's not like people mean it. It's not like they mean it. And if they do mean it, you're supposed to act like they don't mean it. People rude and trapped, you have to act like they didn't mean that. Love believes the best of everybody. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love believes all things. Another Amplified says, love is ever ready to believe the best of everybody. So you need to believe that they really didn't mean to cut you off or drive slow or drive fast or all the stuff that you think they should be doing. So you need to be a good Christian. That's a good practice place for you. You can blow it 10 times and ask God to forgive you. Nobody's watching. And then you need to carry this over into your work life and into your personal lives and so that you're a full of the Holy Ghost and faith person, so that you're full of joy in the Spirit person.
Glory. Glory.
That's the glory of this whole thing. Amen. Can't be some mean Christian. I've heard of Spirit-filled preachers and Christians and stuff that you get around them and they're throwing stuff on the stage at each other. It's like, no, that doesn't... That makes none of it count. See, if you're a spiritual person, and you read that without love you're a clanging cymbal, no matter how much faith you have, no matter how many gifts you have, no matter how much power you have, no matter how much prophecy you know and all, no matter what, if you don't have love, you're a nothing. If you don't have love, you're a clanging, you're nothing. You don't even fit. When you read that love is the greatest, you major on that. A spiritual person says, ooh. Love, all of a sudden, is my leader. All of a sudden, love's more important than the task at hand. All of a sudden, love's more important than my title. All of a sudden, love helps me put my pride down. Oh no, love makes me want to be a peacemaker. All of a sudden, if I'm engrafted to the love of God, I'm serious about this great command. All of a sudden, I start sensing eternal treasure because I didn't get mad. All of a sudden, I recognize when a reward shows up in my box in heaven because I didn't get offended when someone was stupid toward me. Doesn't bother me. Ding! See, this is a different way to live. This is a spirit-filled life. This is not being carnal. This is being heavenly minded. This is something totally different. It's what the world needs. They need to see somebody that's totally different. Hallelujah. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And you can look at it, sure, the word did save you. You know, the Bible says we're born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. But save your soul could also mean save your mind. The more that you implant, let the word implant into you into it, the more you get entangled with the word of God, the better your brain will be. And so renew your mind to the word of God. Let the word of God cleanse you, sanctify you through the truth. So the more you learn, it goes through your brain into your spirit, and it saves your soul, helps you think better. Your soul being your mind and your will and your emotions, the word of God will help you think right. It'll help you think differently than the world's way. Most of you grew up in the world's way. Not everybody, but even if you didn't grow up in the world's way, you had a chance to go that way. I've talked to all the Holy Family children. They all had to recognize the world's way and fight it. To make it, you got to fight through it so that you don't go the world's way. So you need the word to get inside you, yield to it, so that you don't have to think the world's way. Amen. You can't be a friend to the world. All right. It's able to save your souls, help you overcome mentally all the challenges you're facing. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Stop there. So you've heard that before. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer. It's not about you getting all the knowledge. It's not about you getting puffed up. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So we're not just trying to create smarty pant Christians. We're trying to create those that assimilate that word into their heart so they can love the world. Amen. And their brethren. Amen. And their spouse. Isn't that right? They're elbowing each other up here. Be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Otherwise, you're just deceived. A lot of people think that they're something because they know a lot, but they're just deceiving themselves. It's like sometimes the excited Christian, the new Christian, the newly spirit-filled Christian, sometimes thinks they're something they're not. They're deceived. You got to be very careful of that. Bible even warns about not being a novice. That if you're going to be called into some leadership position, you can't be a novice or you will fall into the condemnation of the devil. And so it happens every generation. You got the new up-and-comers who are standing on the shoulders of giants, but they think they're flying. It's like a lot has gone into the kingdom before you.
Amen.
And it would be nice if we all recognized it. I remember as a young preacher making sure I was real careful about that. Because anybody gets filled with the Spirit knows everything. Really, when you get filled with the Spirit, man, you get touched by the power of God, it's like, puh, it all comes clear. You open the Word of God after getting filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like, whoo, I understand this. But you got to be careful. Pride is a killer. Ignorance is the first killer, not knowing truth, and then pride's the second killer. And both of them will just take you right out of the presence of God. So anyway, verse 22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And then he goes away and forgets what he looks like. And this is so if you're not in the Bible, listen, if you're not reading the Bible, and maybe you don't like to read, but you better listen to it read. Like if you don't like to read, you find somebody in your family that likes to read out loud and you tell them, read this out loud to me. And if they're not a good reader, you get Morgan Freeman and he'll read it to you. James Earl Jones, they'll read it to you. I would suggest if you're going to get the Bible read to you, get a Spirit-filled person to read it.
Come on, amen.
Not just a fancy voice. Don't be just a carnal person. Get a Spirit-filled person to read you the Bible. Same thing with song singing. You want to get impacted by a song, make sure it's a Spirit-filled person singing to you.
Amen.
Make sure it's somebody real close to the Lord singing to you. It's not just the words and melody that does anything. I mean, words and melody can always soothe your soul, can always excite you, can always do a natural thing. But for your spirit to get touched in any way, it needs to be good, solid, holy words, not just emotional riffraff. Not just an emotional love song. It needs to be Holy Spirit words. And if it's sung by a Holy Spirit-filled person, it's a lot better. It could actually get into your spirit and do something in there.
Amen.
You'll see more supernatural things happen if it's a Spirit-filled person doing the singing. So I'd look out for that. But for somebody that doesn't read their Bible much, doesn't listen to the Word of God, is only just collecting information, they're going to forget what they look like. It's like, how many of you looked in the mirror today? Some of you maybe should have looked in the mirror today. If you didn't look in the mirror for like 3 weeks or so, somebody's going to notice. Same thing with your spiritual life. If you're not really looking in the mirror of His Word, somebody's going to notice. And so you Christians... We Christians need to make sure we're looking in here a lot.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. First Corinthians chapter 2, we'll go there. For your personal life to revive, to stay on fire, you'll just have to get back to some of these basic things, which is the Bible and spending time with the Lord. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, spending time with the Lord. You know, the Bible says that these three agree on earth, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. It's like, what does that mean? Well, it just means that if you want to be close to the Father, you have to get His Word involved and His Spirit involved. Because He's not far from His Word or His Spirit. So if you're far from His Word and His Spirit, you're far from Him. So you're going to have to be yielded to the Holy Spirit, cultivate a life with the Holy Spirit, get quiet, because He usually only talks when it's quiet.
Right.
He reveals stuff to you when it's quiet. So you do have to anchor some times in your day or your week to give Him a chance. And then you got to pray in the Spirit a lot.
Right.
If you pray in the Spirit... Even when it's noisy, you might hear something when it gets quiet. So don't ever think that praying in the Spirit was nothing.
Right.
It's always helpful to you. But then you do need a little time when you don't say something. You need some time when he gets to talk, some time just to be quiet and think, listen, wait. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So now I'm bringing up natural man versus spiritual man. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So stop there. So Paul is just making some points here, but obviously there are some people that are carnal, baby Christians who are carnal, and then there's spiritual Christians who aren't. So obviously you'd prefer to be the spiritual one, right? I mean, I'm sure there's a group of Christians that are like, yeah, yeah, I'd rather just be carnal. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but man, I just love this world. But you don't want to be like that.
Right.
You're here on a Wednesday night. I know you. he who is spiritual, notice it says, he who is spiritual judges all things. That doesn't mean you go around judging people's hearts. It just means you have a perception that's right. He that's spiritual can discern stuff. Okay? And so, and it says you're not judged by anybody. So if you're getting judged a whole lot by people, you're carnal. I said, if you feel like everybody's judging me, they shouldn't be judged, you're carnal. Think of how many people have said that in response to somebody pointed something out. You can't judge me. Don't stop judging me. You're carnal if people are judging you. And I'm not instituting everybody go around judging. I'm just saying, you judge yourself, you won't be judged. The main point is I wanted you to see that term, he that is spiritual. He that is spiritual. He that is spiritual. Skip backwards just a bit to chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. We're not talking about weird stuff. We're not talking about all the things that I might could see up in the sky or something. We're not talking about just floating around. Nobody can even pinpoint what you're talking about because you sound so spiritual. We're talking about you getting it right. We're talking about you walking in love. We're talking about your spirit-filled life being full of fruit. You know them by their fruits. Some people are just fruity. But it says, the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So the spirit of the world is not what we're supposed to have.
Right.
We've been given the Spirit of God so that we can know the things that God has given to us. And so this is where you do have to recognize there's some time that you need to spend. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, whom I'm going to send, He is going to show you all things the Father wants you to see. He's going to say what the Father and I say. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to show you the truth. You got to spend time with Him. For your prayers to really work, it's not about you just praying it right. We've done a lot of stuff on prayer, of course, but it's not about you just saying the prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Because sometimes you get to the end of that and nothing happens. It's like, oh, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God of Nazareth. And Bethlehem, and he came out of Egypt, and you're confused. It's confusing. It's like, why it's not working? Why it's not working? What have I said it. They sent me to say the prayer in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the thing is that you haven't drawn near to the Lord about it. You haven't really given yourself a chance to believe it. In your mind, you believe it enough to pray it, but you haven't given yourself enough time to let faith rise. For you to really have living faith or live faith, it's got to cultivate in there. It's got to come from your spirit. It can't just be an action. If you're in the wheelchair, you can be healed. Absolutely, every person in a wheelchair can be made well. It's a promise. But it doesn't just happen because you decided, I'm going to get up. It happens because you found the faith in your heart to get up.
Right.
And between you and the Lord, there was something in there that fueled you. And that only happens, it's almost unexplainable how it happens. But it happens in the quiet moment. It happens in the me and God moment. So you have to draw near to Him and really believe Him in the prayer closet. And you'll know. It's like, I don't know how would I know? You'll know. How do I know if I'm in faith? You'll know. How do I know? What are you talking about? You'll know.
Right.
What's the pastor talking about? You'll know. If it ever happens to you, you'll know.
Yes.
How will you know? Because your face will go. You'll come out thanking God and rejoicing.
Right. Amen.
Before the prayer answer comes. You won't have to drum it up. So I prayed it. Now they said I'm supposed to thank God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Then they said I'm supposed to dance. Now what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to have a positive confession. No. When you really connect with the Lord, you'll know it. And it'll just be natural. So this time with the Lord is necessary. Hallelujah. So we have to kind of shun the carnal Christian way, which is just kind of surfacey, do the least I can to get by. Enjoy the world, do the least I can spiritually. Find out how many times I have to go to church in any given month. You know, I want to make my quota. And I know most people don't consciously think that, but subtly in their minds, they set their own quantity. Like, I feel good about myself as long as I go twice a month. You know what I mean? That's carnal Christianity. We're not living for that, right? We're not preaching that around here. It doesn't satisfy the soul. Nobody's happy. Your friends aren't happy. You're not happy. Your pastor's not happy. Nobody's happy when you do that. Jesus isn't happy.
Right. Amen.
Nobody's happy when you play that game of worldliness. So we gotta do something to stiff arm the worldliness. One fellow said this. He said the cross of popular evangelicalism is not the cross of the New Testament. It's rather a new bright ornament upon the bosom of a self-assured and carnal Christianity. The old cross slew men. The new cross entertains them. And so that'll help you not be part of just performance Christianity. Okay, around here you can know a little bit about how I... about this office. I stand in a certain office with the Lord, that of pastor and teacher, but from this place, my goal is never to perform for you, never to create some event for you.
Amen.
It's always to make sure that you can go home with something that changes your whole life. The reason I became a preacher, the reason I said yes to the call, is because I recognized God needed me to help everybody experience Him in life.
Amen.
I was never a showman, don't want to be a showman, not good at being any kind of a showman, don't want to do any kind of parading up here. I hope that there's a little humor every once in a while just to help us all. It's good to have fun in church. You know, when you're in church a lot, you want to be able to have fun in church. If you're bored in church and you have to go to church a lot, that means your whole life is boring. And so we who are in church, we like to make sure we have at least a little bit of fun in church. So we're not just bored. But I'm not real good at the showman stuff and don't really want to be and really don't like that type of gospel ministry. That's all just fake to me. If I want to see something fake, I will watch a movie. I will watch a comedian show if I want to see something fake, even though comedian shows are even more real sometimes. So Smith Wigglesworth, he was completely against anything of the flesh. And so you probably wouldn't have liked his meetings. Really, really, the reason he didn't have these huge crowds when he was ministering, he's got more people following him now than he ever did. And the reason is because his meetings were very spiritual. And so spiritual that people hated the fact that he ever punched somebody to get the devil out. They didn't like his methods of healing, but people would get healed. They're like, but you hit him. You slapped him. You punched him in the stomach. Well, they got well. Yeah, but you don't do that. So people didn't like that. And he was kind of rough about the flesh. And so it was said of him that if he ever detected, like in a conference that he put together, if he ever detected a parading personality, he would grab them off the stage and make them quit. That meets my heart. That fits with me. I'm not looking for fake stuff. I'm not looking for a contemporary gospel that looks like theater.
Amen.
And, you know, we have to use microphones and we have to use stuff because the sound and thing, but I don't like it to look worldly. So Pastor Joni has clear instruction on how to act on the stage. We have requirements. You don't get to act like a rock star up on the stage. Like, you don't get to hold your microphone up.
Right. Sure. Oh, Pastor. Okay. Here again.
I want to see your face. You hold it nice. I remember when I got in the gospel and I was hanging around some people, and I remember they had some hard rock Christian band come to the church. It was like, I couldn't understand the words. It was very unedifying. It was just screaming, you know, and screeching. And it's like, you know, I didn't like that music whenever my sinful friends listened to it, much less Christians. There's got to be a limit.
Amen.
Yeah, but they're Christians. I don't mean nothing. I guarantee they ain't spirit-filled Christians. They wouldn't act like that. They get up there and act like rock singers, you know. Look, that's not healthy. And I don't buy that. Well, it's Christian, though. No, it ain't. That doesn't emulate anything Christian. We're different than the world. Let's not try to act like the world. Because you get a hard rock person saved, they come in the church and see that. It's like, well, what's the difference? The only difference is non-service time. We do have to become all things to all men. I get all that. But let's not go overboard. There's a limit. There's a line. There's worldliness and spirituality, and let's do it right. We don't have a dress code in here, but let's do it right. I don't have to promote worldly look. I mean, you go one place and one preacher says you got to wear suits. The other place says, please wear jeans and holes in them. You don't have to do any of that promoting. You don't have to say all that to try to get people. Just be yourself. Just be yourself. And look nice, you know. Whatever you're wearing, look nice. Nice is relative to each person, but just have clean clothes and smell decent,
right,
and don't show too much skin.
Amen. Amen.
How'd I get off on all that? Well, another fellow said, we're raising a generation on the spiritual junk food of religious videos, movies, youth entertainment, and comic book paraphrases of the Bible. The Word of God is being rewritten, watered down, illustrated, and dramatized in order to cater to the taste of the carnal mind. That only leads further into the wilderness of doubt and confusion. And this is not a big deal, but I'll just mention one. You know, the big thing, and I don't know if it's really happening much as much anymore. I don't think it really is, especially with the good ministries really aren't doing it like this. But all the props on the stage, having to do a new stage set for everything you do, is kind of neat, and it probably helps a little bit here and there. And they say, well, Jesus taught in parables, and so all we're doing is giving people symbols. And I get that, and I've used props before, and it's not a problem. But let's not overdo it. Let's not act like that's necessary every single time you have to make a point, because Jesus didn't carry around all of his props. He told stories about the farmer and the seeds and the candles and the lampstand. He told stories, so stories are one of them. But let's not make it to where we have to have a fancy set in order to feel like I had church. Really, all that does is appeal to the carnal, natural senses of people. And the good news about it is designed more to help people get saved, to help the new person get something, okay? The problem with that we've always found is whatever you do to get people, you have to do to keep people. So we've always been very careful not to do fake extra things to draw a crowd.
Amen.
Like we don't have to have youthful stuff to get a youth, because then all of a sudden that's all they wanted. They came in for that, and once that's gone, they learned that from the youth ministry of old, where they put tons of video games in the youth room. They got all this attraction and all these kids coming, and before you knew it, the kids are like, well, I'm tired of these video games. Could you get some new ones for us, please? And as soon as they realized that was a problem, they took the video games away, and all the kids left. I mean, that's a short version of a long story. But you do have to be careful what you're doing to gather people. So we like the genuineness, right? I don't mind I don't mind giving hot dogs away to get people on the property. We're probably going to do that at some point. But at the same time, let's keep bait where it belongs. Bait is not the attraction. It's just the quick thing to get people hooked into the Lord. All right. Hot dogs sound pretty good right now. The Bible doesn't say that you can't eat hot dogs. Even pork hot dogs. Even pork ones. Jesus told Peter, you can eat anything on this carpet. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, we're almost done here. Let's see. A little bit more on the spiritual versus carnal. So the spiritual person, let's say the one committed to the Spirit-filled life is quick to say okay. Like if we're talking about fear versus faith. The spiritual person hears that message and becomes inflamed against fear.
That's right.
What fears do I have in my life? Am I afraid of heights? If so, I'm going up to the Transco Tower or the Texaco. I'm going up. If I have fear of heights, I'm going to deal with it and I'm going to beat it. Joni did that with spiders. She recognized, I don't have to be afraid.
Amen.
Of spiders. And so she started to squish them by faith. Before you knew it, she wasn't afraid of spiders. You got to recognize this is serious business here.
Right.
The Word of God is serious business. These spiritual principles are determining your life. If you have any phobias, you need to get rid of them.
Amen.
Phobias are all from the devil. They're all full of fear. You don't need any phobia whatsoever.
Right. Amen. Not allowed.
Spiritual principles matter. You hear stuff about, you know, your words matter. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. You need to stop talking like you talk. Stop being so mealy-mouthed. Stop being such a grumbler and a complainer and a worrier out loud. People don't take it seriously, though, and then stuff happens 5 years later, and things aren't going well for them, and then they're like, where's God when you need him? Well, 5 years ago, he was in church trying to tell you how to control your tongue. I remember Brother Hagin told a story a bunch about this young man who was dying. And so this guy's pastor, had Brother Hagin come to the hospital. So it was the pastor and Brother Hagin and some of the family around. But the pastor and Brother Hagin stayed in the hotel room praying, and just praying in the spirit for this guy. And as they were praying, Brother Hagin heard this word from the Lord. It said, spiritual things were put in motion long ago, and they cannot be changed now. And he heard that, and he thought, I don't know. And so they just kept praying it through, and then at the end, Brother Hagin felt like he better tell the pastor that, and so he told him what he heard from the Lord, and the pastor said, you're right. That's exactly right. I already knew that. And so the pastor went to the family, and he said, you know what? I think we ought to just go ahead and release him to go on to be with the Lord. It's a Christian man. We need to release him to go and be with the Lord. And so they did. And after the funeral, Brother Hagin was with the family again, and he felt like he ought to mention something to the family. So he told the mother and the brother or something like that. He said, you know, I heard the Lord tell me that spiritual things were put in motion long ago and they couldn't be changed. And his brother said, I know what that means. He said, my brother told me very specifically, and he mentioned when, that he would never live to see the age of 40. And he died 4 months, I think, before age of 40. And then he went to the mother, and the mother of this young man that died said the same thing. She said, he used to say that all the time. What does that mean? That means words do matter. Spiritual things do happen. There is a spirit realm that does have spiritual laws in it.
Amen.
Now, that's not designed to take your hopes away. Listen, if you're hearing the message, you have a chance. If you've done stuff like that, you have a chance right now to make changes in your life.
Right. Amen.
You need to pluck up. If you're right now saying, whoa, then this is your moment to pluck up all your bad seeds. The young man could have probably done that too. Pluck up the bad seeds. You know, you're supposed to reap what you sow. You start saying a bunch of garbage about your life, you'll reap it. But if you recognize and you, by faith, repent and by faith pluck those seeds up, how do you pluck up seeds? You simply say, no, I pluck up all that stupid stuff I said. I'm sorry, Lord, I pluck that up. In Jesus' name, I rebuke all that stupidity. So you can pluck up bad seed so you don't have to reap later. For a lot of things, you can do that. So it's not designed to take your hope away. It's designed to help you recognize this stuff's real. You rejoicing when it doesn't feel comfortable to rejoice can get your joy back. Most people don't do it. They just eat more. Spiritual stuff, very real. Spiritual people read the Bible and say, yes. Spiritual people say, if life and death are in the power of the tongue, I will talk well this week. And if I say something wrong, I will apologize. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll tell them. Just a little story. We were driving down the road with, I think it was the office staff, and this was years ago, but I was driving down the road, and I saw a funny person. And it was a man dressed like a woman. And I said, and I pointed him out. I said, look, because it was just almost humorous, something so twisted. And then I instantly felt like, why did you do that? And I had to apologize to the whole car. I'm sorry for doing that. I shouldn't have pointed that out. That's not right to do as a Christian, to make fun of somebody that's under such oppression. Just something simple like that. We got to be careful. All these glamour shows where you start nitpicking how they look, that's not Christian. Maybe don't watch the glamour show. But if you do, don't get into the judge, don't get into the judging panel. Miss America pageants? Guys, you can't watch that anyway. Where'd we go from here? Hallelujah. I think that's about it. Let me read you one final quote here. Watchman Nee said this. He said, "Though all Christians possess a regenerated spirit, not all Christians are spiritual. Many are still fleshly. Their carnal mind is still full of wandering thoughts, reasons, and plans. Their emotions run wild with many carnal interests, desires, tendencies. And their will formulates many worldly judgments, arguments, and opinions that they easily portray on social media at the whim of a..." No, he didn't say that. There was no social media in Watchmen. He said, "They're so occupied in following the flesh that they've neither time nor inclination to listen to the voice of intuition. Since the voice of the Spirit is usually very soft, it cannot be heard unless it's listened to attentively with everything else quieted." So in this information age, you're going to have to be careful, because all of that stuff gets in here and is loud, takes up all the room that God might need some.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved, and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.